Good morning, everyone. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. So glad to be worshiping with you, whether it's Sunday morning or whatever day of the week you are joining us. Growing up in the late 80s and early 90s, one of my primary jobs, the house, was to record the very popular soap opera, Days of Our Lives, for my mother on a VHS tape. This is a VHS tape. Before the streaming era and DVR, this is how we recorded our show, putting this tape into a VCR. It was hard to set the timer, to start and stop the recording on a VHS tape, to not record over what you have already recorded, and the anger that would ensue if breaking news occurred and you didn't see the end of your show. Soap operas are known for their over-the-top villains and absurd storylines to keep viewers tuning in, taking turns on demon possession, incredibly wacky villains, unstable relationships, and people coming back from the dead, usually actors leaving a show and occasionally returning. Now, in seminary, a friend of mine developed a sermon series called Life Lessons from Soap Operas. His best sermon title, that still sticks with me to this day some 16 years later, was this: Just because you died doesn't mean you're dead. How perfect, right? Perfect to encapsulate a soap opera, and believe it or not, perfect to encapsulate our scripture for today. We'll be in Isaiah 11 in the Old Testament. Isaiah is the smart, well-connected man who should have been a politician or business owner. But instead, God called him to be a spokesperson in Israel when he was 18 years old. In this short sermon or oracle, we're reminded that the nation of Israel has not lived up to its potential. Israel was supposed to be a blessing for all the other nations through God's grace and power, but they failed so many times. And now it seems like it's all over. It's done. God gave them over to the consequences of their sins, and now they appear to be nothing more than a tree stump, completely and totally dead. And yet, just because you've died does not mean you're dead. Let's begin in Isaiah 11, verse 1. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He'll give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He'll wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. It's not over for Israel. It's not over yet. The light is coming. Even though it looks like the end, even though everything is bleak and dark and depressing and feels like the deepest part of night, there is still some reason to hope. Something new is coming. God is sending someone to bear fruit again, the fruit of wisdom and understanding, the one who judges deeper than how we look on the outside, the one who will give justice to the poor and care for the exploited. He will speak, and the earth will tremble. Now notice this new branch simply breathes, just one breath, and destroys the wicked. We, as people created in the image of God, we are hardwired for justice and fairness and righteousness and truth. So often, we see much of the exact opposite in our world today. We see injustice and exploitation, people using other people to make a quick buck and not worrying about how their actions affect others or the world around them. We see hatred. We see people hating others simply because their skin color is different than theirs. Their social status is different. Their politics are different. Others have a way different life experience than we've had. We don't even give them the most basic kindness to listen to their story, to hear their joy and their pain. We can grow to the place where we cannot even tolerate hearing a different point of view than our own. So we cultivate our own bubbles, on our own echo chambers, in our online relationships and our real-life relationships, and we simply reinforce everything we believe and ignore everyone else. Isolation is not the way. Hatred is not the way of this new branch. Love is the way. Love that seeks understanding and truth, as well as justice for the poor and destruction for the wicked. Love protects those who cannot protect themselves. Does that sound like anyone you've heard of before? Does it sound like someone's birth we will soon celebrate? Many, many centuries before Jesus arrives in the flesh, Isaiah points the way to him, the new branch out of the old stump of Israel. Just because you died doesn't mean you're dead. There were many that first Christmas who would have felt like a dead stump. Joseph's dreams for a happy life died when Mary announced her pregnancy. Mary's dreams for her marriage with Joseph died when the Holy Spirit told her she is pregnant. Yes, those original dreams died, but they were replaced with something far more wondrous that God was doing through them. Just because our dreams die, do not mean they are dead, especially in God's hands. Today, where do you in your life feel like a stump? Where do you feel like something is dead? It could be relationships long since broken, long since disconnected, that don't look like they have any chance of reconnecting. It's been months, years, decades, nothing has changed. Friends, the Israelites waited centuries before Jesus' arrival, centuries as this dead stump. They waited a long time, just waiting for a new branch to grow out of them. Do not give up hope. The relationships you thought were long since broken could be restored. Keep praying for hearts to change, including yours, and never give up hope. Just because you thought the relationship died does not mean it is dead. Our God specializes in bringing new life from death. Maybe you feel like your faith feels like a dead stump. It feels like nothing more than routine. Like so much in 2020 in this pandemic, it feels like you're just going through the motions over and over again and you're stuck. It's time to try something new. It's time to try something different, a new practice to grow closer to Jesus. Like anything in life, anything worthwhile requires time and investment. Invest in your faith this Advent. Commit to reading the daily devotionals written by our Legacy family. It's time for a new commitment to daily Bible reading, to prayer, to committing to a life group, to finding an impact group to serve with. Perhaps your next step in growing in your faith is exactly the plot of the movie Groundhog Day. Phil Connors only stopped repeating the same day over and over again when he took the focus off of himself and focused on others. Try it and see if that might just be the kick your faith needs. Perhaps you feel like your job is a dead stump. It no longer carries the joy it once did. Perhaps it never had the joy you wanted it to have. There's always at least two options when it comes to your work: a new job or your real job. It might be time to find a new place of employment. It's time to move on and find the place where you can find the joy you're seeking in your work. Or it's time to find your real job, your real passion. Find the art, the hobby, the task that brings you joy, and realize that your day job just exists to support your real job outside of your work hours. Pray, chat with people you trust, make a change to get unstuck with your job. Just because you died in a relationship, in your faith, in your job, does not mean any of that is dead. Isaiah continues in chapter 11 with a very famous passage of scripture. Even those of us who haven't grown up in the church, we're going to recognize it. Let's pick it up in verse 6. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put his hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. Who doesn't want to live there? A place of perfect peace and justice, where the earth is full of people who know the Lord. This new branch brings the peace that the world has yet to see on a global scale. The branch is the banner of salvation to all the world. Now, the second piece of Isaiah gives us a glimpse of Jesus' second coming, his return. Did you know that this season of Advent celebrates both Jesus' arrival as a cute little baby, as well as his return, the one who brings destruction for the wicked and peace to the world that Isaiah describes? Advent and Christmas is not just about the cute baby, but also about Jesus' return when all will be made right. All will be made right. Advent is our yearly reminder that the light has come and it's coming. Yes, the light Jesus has come once, but the light is coming again. We can come to Jesus now today to be healed, to be renewed, and we await his return in full to make everything right again. We live in the in-between, in this world and with human beings that at the same time show incredible acts of love as well as horrific acts of violence and evil. So how now shall we live in this time when the light has come once, breaks through in spurts here and there, while we await the light's full and complete return? Centuries after Isaiah wrote his sermon, his oracle, two newborns arrive within a few months of each other. One was Jesus. The other was an oddball wilderness preacher named John the Baptist. When John grew up, he gave this message. And notice who gets a shout out in this passage. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him." Our task is similar to John the Baptist in this in-between time, between Jesus' first coming and his second, his return. We're called to prepare the way, to live as people of the light confronting the darkness, to call people to repent, to live a new way, to be the new branch bearing fruit of hope and light and love and justice and truth and peace. In all our words and our deeds, we're preparing the way for the light to return in full. We do that in so many ways, as individuals and as the church. Our annual Half a Christmas offering brings light and hope every year. In 12 years, we've given more than $450,000 to primarily impact the homeless in our region. This year, through direct care and advocacy work. Direct care through the United Way's homeless shelter on South 12th Street. And advocacy work through the Missouri Valley Homeless Coalition, an organization that helps provide and guide and coordinate all the service providers in our region. Here's just one of the ways your dollars have had an impact over this last year. Watch this.
You know, one of the things that always happens when people are thinking about serving homeless individuals is they're looking for that lightning rod of, like, here's this one particular person who had this one particular success. And as a coalition, here's what we found. All of our member organizations have these individual successes that they have an opportunity to talk about, brag about. And I think this might be a good opportunity for us to think about it in a different way. And that is, one of the successes that we've had is finding a way to work to get some FEMA funds back in our community that haven't been there for 3 or 4 years. And so we organized our efforts and put forth a proposal to try to make sure we have the support to bring an extra $50,000 to $60,000 into our community every year to provide direct services with homeless. So that's a real success that happens on this level that we're going to be able to see the impact on a micro level with all of the people that are seeking support.
We did that together through our offerings, letting the light break through us and give people we may never meet hope and life. We're doing it again this Christmas Eve. This year's goal is $40,000. Pray and consider how God wants you to simplify, to have half a Christmas, to bring your offering to the church on Christmas Eve. You can give during any worship service or online anytime to Half a Christmas. As individuals, we prepare the way of Jesus' return through sharing hope and light and justice in all our words and deeds. Take time to have coffee with a friend, listening to someone else's story, challenging someone to go a different direction in their lives, to work and to stop the unhealthy and addictive behaviors they're stuck in. advocating to protect people who cannot protect themselves, loving people into the light, into the arms of Jesus. Now, the famous wedding passage, 1 Corinthians 13, is actually not about weddings at all, but about the way Christians should love each other, as well as others in the world. The kind of love we're called to practice is kind and patient. This love protects those who cannot protect themselves. This love is not rude, online or off. This love does not hold a grudge. If we want to be people preparing the way of the light, we love like this, patiently and with kindness, with no grudges, protecting those who cannot protect themselves. This love will cast out darkness and can grow a new shoot from all kinds of dead stumps. So as we wait for Jesus' return, that's our task. That's our calling. We're called to love until love returns, making sure everybody knows that just because something died does not mean it's dead, especially in the hands of our Savior. Let's pray together. Loving God, may we be people loving others until love returns through our kindness and gentleness, protecting those who cannot protect themselves and seeking justice for those oppressed. Empower us through your Holy Spirit this week to never give up hope, never give up praying for relationships to be restored, dreams to be rekindled, because in you, just because something died does not mean it is dead. In the resurrected Savior's name we pray, amen. Now we'll receive God's tithes, your gifts, and your offerings. As you consider year-end gifts, there are three great options here at Legacy. First, the General Fund makes everyday mission and ministry possible, from staff salaries to mission projects. Our December need is $250,000. The Legacy Honor Project, second, retires debt, supports Legacy South, and builds the Legacy Foundation. And third, it's the Half a Christmas Challenge. All three are great ways to practice extravagant generosity. You can give online on our website, via the Legacy app, or getting an offering to the church. Let's practice extravagant generosity together as we sing our closing song.